Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and of course, I'm joined by my great friend, Couture. How you doing, Couture?
I'm doing fine. I just gave me a drink while the NWO was playing.
Oh, awesome. Sorry I didn't let it play very long. All right, first off, what I wanted to say is everybody should check out the chat. It's superfriendsuniverse.com/chat, I believe. And, also check us out always on superfriendsuniverse.com. That's where you can find all of our archives for this great, great show. And just wanted to say
I would go into the chat, but I'm a little bit too high above with people that types that are in there, so I choose not to.
I will be in the chat, though, if anybody wants to chat and stuff. So, all right, let's get into 1997. We've made it. Now we have traveled 5 years through WCW. How do you feel about that, Couture?
It's going to get longer before it gets shorter. about 3 years and, 4 months to go? Four years and 3 months.
We have a long time to go, so... Yes, all you WCW fans, just be prepared, because these are going to be a long show. All right, and this is going to be a special one-hour edition of Pro Wrestling Flashback. And we might actually do another one maybe later this week. I did talk to Contreras about that, but we will find out. All right, so...
Well, probably I'm thinking that I'm going to be passed out in an hour, so the hour show is probably the best thing.
Okay, perfect. All right, so Nitro started back up the week after the week into the new year to 1997, and like the big storyline going in, well, of course, the NWO, but there's an issue with Kevin Sullivan and Chris Benoit and Norman, and how Kevin Sullivan seems all depressed. And you really don't know what's going on. Like what is going on? Like, you know, with the storyline, there's a bunch of dissension, like, involved with all the horsemen. Because Jeff Jarrett, you know, Ric Flair told him to be a horseman. But at the same time, you know, he doesn't get along with Mongo McMichael, and Jeff does not get along with Arn Anderson. As a matter of fact, on this intro, Jeff Jarrett called Arn Anderson the horse's rear. So they have, like,
He said, you've always walked behind Tully and Ole. And why would I talk to, when I want to talk to the horse's head, why am I going to talk to the horse's rear? I want to talk to Ric Flair. And then I think Arn Anderson popped him one, and that led to like an impromptu match.
Yeah, so it was an impromptu match. And Jarrett beat him.
He beat him with his feet on the rope. And then that's... Ric Flair was all about Jeff Jarrett, but once he beat Arn Anderson, he was, like, flipping out over it.
Yes, he was very excited. it was great. It was great because Deborah, this was the beginning of the Deborah kind of crush on Jeff Jarrett with she's protecting Jeff Jarrett in a little bit. And Mongo's frustrated, and Flair was frustrated because no one's getting along in the Horsemen, which, you know, we'll see a lot of that in every single group there could possibly be. So, I don't know. It was an exciting way to start the year off, though, I thought.
And actually saying this Kevin Sullivan and Chris Benoit thing, watching it, I didn't know what was going on.
No, you had no idea. You really had no idea.
I wasn't that much, like, an insider fan at the time. I mean, just, you know, every once in a while, you know, I didn't even have a computer at this time. I just, like, at college or something, they have computers there, and I just kind of look at stuff, and I didn't know if I was looking at something that was, like, credible or something like that, you know, how things were back then. So, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. I had known that woman had been with Sullivan, like, in years prior, like, in Florida and crap like that. So, though, they had some kind of association, so I figured it was maybe something like that. I didn't know they were actually married, though.
Yeah, see, I didn't know at all. Of course, I was still, you know, 1997. I was 14 years old, starting high school. I was in eighth grade most of the time. So, like, you know, I'm old enough to know what's stupid and what's not stupid. I mean, at the same time, I'm still a dumb kid. So, you know, it was interesting. All right, so Nitro starts. Glacier beats Bobby Eaton. And he used this move, which was sweet chin music, but he called it the cryonic kick. And, like, I always thought it was awesome how he did it. He, like, did it like it was, like, martial art, like, the way he didn't deliver it with, like, a lot of impact like Shawn Michaels did. The way he did it, though, it was, like, almost the same kick, but it looked like, you know, he was actually, like, of a ninja. I don't know. I think Glacier a little bit.
Yeah, he's a decent worker. He wasn't horrible.
He wasn't bad. All right, and Conan, now with Dungeon of Doom, he was having a disagreement with Big Bubba. Do you remember this?
And Big Bubba's in the NWO.
Yes, because he got mad and betrayed, so they had a Mexican strap match on Nitro, second match of the night. And because they used to be tag team partners, I think it was. And, of course, Conan wins. And right before the match, we find out that the Giant, who was in NWO, who had just been kicked out, was gonna fight Hulk Hogan has sold out, and sold out, explain the concept of sold out to the few people that probably don't know.
Say what again?
Explain the concept of sold out.
Well, it was an NWO pay-per-view. It was, NWO was running it, and they were inviting some of the WCW guys, you know, like, have matches and stuff on the show. They were doing Hogan and the Giant, because Giant won the World War III Battle Royal to get the title shot. And then he was kicked out of the NWO, and what else were they having? They were having Six and Eddie Guerrero in a ladder match for the U.S. Heavyweight title. Steiners against the Outsiders for the World Tag Team title. And a few of them, I think Chris Jericho and Masachono, DDP, and maybe Scott Norton, and I think Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs, and maybe a few more matches.
It was not a very good pay-per-view, as we will find out.
Oh, fuck no.
Contrary, am I cutting out a bit?
You seem like it.
Okay. Yeah, like, the reason for last week, I kind of explained before, I had to get this, like, temporary phone because my phone is getting fixed. And this phone gets, like, such horrible service. And I have no idea, like, how I'm going to fix this issue. So anytime I'm cutting out, please just let me know, okay?
Okay.
All right. Lord Regal wrestles Jim Duggan, and it was for the TV title, but, like, DDP was supposed to wrestle this match, and
Scott Hall had taken him out for dinner.
Yeah, Scott Hall had taken him out for dinner. So, you know, and Bischoff says that, like at the commentary table, that Paige is joining the NWO, and, you know, it was great.
Hall was at the show.
Hall wasn't at the show, you said?
I was at the show.
Oh, you were there live?
Yeah. This was when I was living in Vicksburg, Mississippi, which is about 30 minutes from Monroe, so. Yeah, I was at the show. We even met a bunch of the wrestlers at, because they had this little airport that they were flying out of and flying in. So
So I got to hang out with I think it was Benoit and Rick Steiner and Lex Luger. And Lex Luger talked me into giving me half of my Subway sandwich because he was hungry.
I would have given him the whole thing because I love Luger. All right.
He was very convincing. I was very hungry, but for the total package, I gave him half my meatball sub.
That is so great. I wish I could have shared a meatball sub with Lex Luger. That's for sure. one thing that's noteworthy is in this match, Jim Duggan waved, instead of an American flag as usual, he waved the WCW flag. And Bischoff announced that there was going to be a Miss NWO contest that sold out. And
there sure was.
Oh, and also something else. He also said that he wanted Randy Savage to quit calling him, which is just like a very... This is like a very odd thing. There was actually contract negotiations at the time, right?
Yeah.
Between Randy Savage and WCW, so no one really knew what was happening with Randy Savage. It was very weird.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think there was this, like, legitimate, like, contract dispute or something, or the contract had run out and they were negotiating or something like that.
Yeah, there was something. Yeah, there really was something. All right, Hugh Morris. Russell, Jim Powers, Jim of the Moonsault. Mysterio beats Psychosis with the Hurricanrana. And they announced that, like, because they announced before that Jushin Liger was going to wrestle Ultimo Dragon for all those belts. And Jushin Liger beat Ultimo Dragon for those belts, but they said that Ultimo Dragon was still the WCW Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah.
So it's odd why there wasn't that belt on the line, but, you know, whatever.
And I guess they couldn't have, like, Well, they wanted to have a Cruiserweight Champion. You know, if you got all those titles, you're going to be doing stuff internationally more than anything. So,
yes. But they did announce that he was going to defend it against Liger at Clash of the Champions. And that the Steiner brothers were going to face Hall and Nash, sold out as well. So this is,
yeah, they were. Scott had been out of action since, like, September, I guess.
Yes, it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
So they were finally back as a team. It would have made sense, like, for the first big feud with Outsiders to be the Steiners, but it was impossible to the industry.
Yep.
All right, Kevin Sullivan, Chavo, and they announced that it was going to be another false count anywhere match between Sullivan and Benoit at Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
Which this was exciting to me because they had awesome matches. It's so great. And the new U.S. champion, Eddie Guerrero, beat Alex Wright with a superplex and a frog splash. And I believe it was going to be, they announced that Guerrero was going to wrestle six and a ladder match that sold out. And that Masahiro Chono, who's the new member of the NWO, was going to go against Chris Jericho. So,
and six is still in the U.S. title when Guerrero won it at Starrcade.
Yes, he had stolen. He had stolen the title, so he has it. He's had it this whole time, Starrcade. So, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since then. So, of course, you know, obviously, he wants to get his belt back. And the Harlem Heat wrestled the Quebecers. Once again, like, if you guys missed last week, I cannot even begin to tell you how awesome it was. What Colonel Robert Parker was wearing while he was managing the Quebecers, amazing French Canadians, whatever. This outfit was so funny. If you guys have a chance, like, you know, YouTube Amazing French Canadians, I'm sure it's got to be on there with him. And this is so funny. So funny. And then Luger beat Ming. And it was actually, he didn't beat Ming. I mean, he won the match, but Mark Curtis was, like, kind of knocked out. And there was interference, and Luger put Barbarian in the torture rack. Mark Curtis saw him quitting, so gave Luger the victory for making the wrong man give up. Very odd, but, you know, what
did he do? They kind of look the same, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they're both dark skin.
I think the show ended with a NWO beatdown of the Giant. And Then they said that they said they were all at the broadcast booth when the giant was down and said, Vincent, go back in there and get you some more. So he went back in there, and I think he got destroyed. So.
Yes.
And Sting came out and whispered something in his ear. This is when Sting was whispering stuff in people's ears. I don't know, sweet nothings or something like that. We never found out what he was whispering.
He was just saying he loved them. All right, run
I'm
us,
sorry,
run
I love
us
you.
To the next one. Run us to the next one.
The next Nitro?
Yes.
Was the New Orleans Superdome, January 13, 1997, 10,000 people. Let's see, Chavo Guerrero Jr. pinned Mr. JL at 4 minutes 17 seconds with a moonsault. Jim Duggan fought Super Colo to a no contest when Sting attacked Duggan for, I have no idea why. I don't know, maybe
I know why.
Said something about, what did he say, something about Sting in a promo or something?
Yeah, he called him out.
Oh. That wasn't very nice. Chris Jericho pinned Sergeant Craig Pittman with a missile dropkick at 107. This was a standby match, subbing for Duggan versus Callow. So since we didn't get that match, they gave us an extra match, I guess. Harlem Heat defeated High Voltage at 406. We've seen Kenny Chaos following the Heat Seeker. During the bout, the giant was shown barge in at the NWO dressing room, claiming Hogan gave him his word he would defend the title that sold out. Moments later, security pulled the giant out of the room. Hogan and Eric Bischoff made fun of the giant for thinking he had a match without first having a contract. Well, didn't he have a contract when he won that battle royal?
Yes. Here, let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
Can you imagine how Chris Jericho and Pitbull Pittman felt? Like, hey, you know, you got on the main card, but you might wrestle tonight. But instead, we're going to set up Jim Duggan versus Super Colo. Those poor guys.
Who knows how many people they had in the dressing room that didn't wrestle?
Oh, yeah.
They
you
were
know.
Flying in like everybody, weren't they, pretty much?
Yeah, they were.
They wonder why the, you know, why they would end up losing a lot of money. Diamond Dallas Page pinned Mark Starr with the Diamond Dallas Page pinned Mark Starr with the Diamond Dallas Page at 54 seconds. I think that's supposed to be the Diamond Cutter. Eric Bischoff and Ted DiBiase did commentary, both claiming DDP was now part of the NWO. After the contest, Hall and Nash came out and handed Page an NWO shirt. After putting on the shirt, Page dropped Hall with the Diamond Cutter and caused Nash to fall over the top to the floor. This was a hell of a pop because this is what's been building up for like months.
It was so great. So great. He went from being such a vile, hated heel to being so loved. I loved him. I loved DDP at this moment.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
Really, what you had was DDP was kind of a next-generation version of Jake the Snake. Think about it. He had the hot finisher. I mean, Jake the Snake, I mean, okay, he had the snake in the WWF, which is going to get over with anybody. But still, the DDT was the hot finisher, and the Diamond Cutter was, you could say, was the next generation version of the DDT. I mean, it was just such a hot finisher. You'd have to been
it's still a hot finisher.
You'd have to be just the dirt worst wrestler to not get over having a move like that. You know?
No, I know. No, honestly, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it was over. I mean, he was so over for this. And like,
yeah, this was a guy, I was so shocked when he ended up getting over, because I said, this Diamond Dallas Page, he was like a manager, and he was like in the Vegas connection with Vinny Vegas and stuff, and he's like heading into the main events. I thought it was pretty awesome. And people can say what they want about Bischoff being his buddy, but, you know, in fact, it doesn't, you know, the fact is he got over, regardless of what anybody wants to say about him.
Yeah, Bischoff wasn't telling all those fans to cheer him.
Yeah, he might have, and obviously Bischoff helped him get to that point, but he just gave him a hot program and stuff like that to work with. And whenever you give a certain guy a hot program, sometimes he's going to outlive people's expectations, and I think that's what he did here.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, think about it. Like, a lot of people get hot programs and it just doesn't pan out. Look at, Vladimir Kozlov in WWE. You know, he got a world title, you know what I mean, not a world title shot and, like, a run for the title, you know, like, to be challenging for it. He was in the main events. No one gave a shit about it. So it was...
Yeah, because they could see how bad he was.
Well, yeah. But I mean, people think DDP's bad, and he's just not, you know.
Nuh-uh, he's not. He was one of those guys who's kind of like innovating a lot of offense and stuff like that. He did some pretty creative stuff in the ring, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to give him credit for a guy his age getting into it so late and, you know, being able to get to where he got.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. 100. I definitely felt the bang, man. I totally did.
Dean Malenko pinned U.S. Champion Eddie Guerrero in a non-title match in 12 minutes. The power bomb as Guerrero stood on the middle turnbuckle, distracted by Six, who appeared on a ladder in the crowd midway through the match. Schiavone and Zbyszko returned to the commentary table. During the ring entrances, Schiavone announced the WCW Executive Committee was on their way to the arena from the NAFTA convention. That's, I guess it's like the TV convention or something that they have every year.
Yeah.
And to make a ruling in the Hogan versus the Giant match. During the contest, Schiavone said what Roddy Piper said following an attack by the NWO weeks earlier was in Gaelic. Moments later, it was announced the committee had ruled not only would Hogan face the Giant as sold out, but the two would also wrestle later in the show, and the finish was not shown due to a technical glitch. Was that when they put the match in between, like, that Robin Hood movie?
Yes, it was.
And to watch that fucking horrible-ass thing and... Just so I could see the Giant and Hulk Hogan. They only show like 2 minutes of it, and then they go to 15 minutes of this shitty movie.
It wasn't a movie. It was a TV show.
Oh, it was a series they were doing.
Yes, they were doing a Robin Hood. And La Femme Nikita was on Raw at the time, and I remember one of the announcers saying, like, I bet La Femme Nikita could sure beat Robin Hood's ass, which is, God.
Conan pinned Super Kilo at 259 with the Cradle DDT. Didn't this man just wrestle?
Who, Super Cologne?
Didn't he? Well, he almost fought Jim Duggan in opener, right?
Yes, but, you know, you could not let a star like Super Cologne miss out on a match, you know?
And in Conan, it says Conan is subbing for Jim Duggan, so after Duggan got beat up, they rebooked the match. And then I guess they decided after rebooking this match, they didn't check first off to see if Duggan was okay to work. So, I don't know what the fuck's going on here.
No.
It's weird.
Yes, and the Horseman thing continued right here. It was like Jarrett and Benoit had a match. And Mongo went to hit Jarrett in the back, and he hit Benoit instead. So, there was...
Yeah, it was a tug of war with Deborah over the suitcase, and I guess Deborah let go and it swung back and nailed Benoit in the head or something.
Yeah, which was great. It's great. And there's this whole...
See, Kevin Sullivan cut a promo in front of a chess set. He said he's going to take the chessboard back the following week in Chicago, slap the chess pieces off the boat. What is he doing on a boat? I don't know. During the match, it was announced that the match later between Hogan and the Giant would be a non-title match because you have to give the champion 48 hours notice before a title match. Okay.
When was this ever a rule?
I don't know.
This was never a rule. And,
it's just some
of
those stupid rules. Like, I don't know. Like, you got to get a judge to never watch wrestling to judge on a Starrcade 97 or something. I don't know. And then
like an interview with the Horsemen, and the animosity between them was so awesome. I mean, Benoit said that, like, Mongo, you know, fumbled the ball, and he said that he doesn't care if Deborah, you know, talks shit on the Horsemen, but if you say anything bad about a woman, it's going to get her in trouble, which was awesome. So awesome. And then, like that, they all wondered where Ric Flair was. And Flair just said that he wanted them all to, you know, figure this all out on their own. So it was just so awesome. I loved this. It's one of those, like, groups not getting along thing that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah. Scotty Riggs and Billy Kidman with the Fisherman Suplex, avoiding the Shooting Star Press, and Marcus Bagwell appeared at the entrance last to watch the match, and during the match, the announcer Riggs will face Bagwell sold out.
Didn't he attack him? Didn't he attack him with a strap?
No, that's for Uncensored. Coming up in
March. Oh, okay. Still, so awful.
Lex Luger defeated Ric Fuller via submission with Torture Rack.
Ric Fuller.
He's one of those names you remember. Like he, Ric Fuller or Jeff Swords, or I don't know, somebody like that. after the battle, the Giant appeared in the entranceway with he and Luger circling one another for Luger. Went backstage, the Giant went out to the ring. Months later, Oakland conducted an in-ring interview with the Giant regarding his match later on in the show against Hogan. Rick Steiner defeated Arn Anderson via countout when Anderson walked backstage after he couldn't get any members of the Horsemen to come out and help him. During the bout, it was announced TNT would air the remainder of the Hogan versus the Giant match during the commercial breaks of the New Adventures of Robin Hood immediately after Nitro goes off the air. This is like when I had to watch that shitty fucking Hulk Hogan movie to see the Sting Hogan contract signing.
I do not remember that.
You remember that?
I honestly do not. I really don't.
Yeah, they announced they were signing the contract for Starrcade, and during one of the commercial breaks during the it was a Hogan movie with Carl Weathers, Escape from Devil's Island or some shit like that. Anderson motioned to the dressing room for the other Horsemen to come out, and the commentary team said there was a shouting match backstage involving the Horsemen. After the bout, Overland conducted an in-ring interview with Steiner regarding the title shot against Holland Nash at Suck Out. Then the Giant defeated WCW World Champion Hulk Hogan via DQ in a non-title match. When the NWO interfered, as the Giant set Hogan up for the choke slam, with the Giant easily clearing the ring out, only the opening minutes aired during Nitro, with the remainder of the match being shown on tape delay during the first two commercial breaks of the premiere episode of The New Adventures of Robin Hood.
They just want, because the ratings were hot. So, you know, TNT wanted them to help him out. And this was like a hot sheet. People cared about this. So, I don't know. Rob, oh, so horrible. Or I hated all those type of shows. You know, like New Adventures of Robin Hood was shot just like you know, Xena or Hercules. All those shitty shows. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's funny.
USA,
because,
they got at least they got better series on USA.
Mm-hmm.
With Kim Nikita, Silk Stockings.
Yeah, up all night with Rhonda Shearer or whatever.
go to the next Monday Nitro from
and,
Nun
it was
Center.
In Chicago. I believe I was at the show.
How were you?
No, I went to a couple of Nitros in 1997. To be honest, I don't remember this one distinctly though. So. It might not have been this Nitro, but I know I went to a couple.
Go ahead.
All right, Chris Jericho beat Alex Wright. Scotty Riggs wrestled NWO Sting, and this is where Mark Bagwell eventually attacked him in this match. It was not known as Buff Bagwell. NWO Sting was a jobber at this point. Like, I don't know. What did you think of him?
Who's that? Scotty Riggs?
No, NWO Sting.
I don't know. This is just somebody they trotted out to have the shit beat out of him like every so often, you know. Wasn't much to him. I think he did way better in Japan, didn't he?
You thought he did way better as what?
In Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a big part of the NWO over there.
Yeah. They really... Oh, let's talk about that Japanese deal. How WCW has a deal with New Japan, okay? And New Japan was set up for their big stars like Chono and Muda and Liger and all these guys. And WCW was set up for like Ice Train and NWO Sting, just like the lowest card guys. And it was such a... Why would they do that?
I don't know. It's been over. I know they had a... Well, maybe the biggest stars that they had over there on a regular basis was, what, Norton and Bagwell?
Yeah.
Maybe
that's
Norton,
probably the biggest stars they've been over there.
Yeah.
Flair on occasion, Sting on occasion. But I mean, for the most part, it was just, you know, I think they even said high voltage before. High voltage. Who could possibly care? Yes, I was at this Nitro because I remember this match. Arn Anderson and Steve McMichael beat Eddie Guerrero and Jeff Jarrett. Ultimo Dragon beat Dean Malenko. Lord Regal beat Jacques Rougeau by DQ. Kevin Sullivan beat Chris Benoit. And it was due to interference. And was it like, didn't women distract him? I believe it was, by accident.
Was it, maybe, because you know they had the match the next night, too. But they had the match here. See, I think maybe Benoit went for the headbutt and Kevin Sullivan lifted up like the ring bell and knocked him out.
That might have been it. That might have been it. Yeah,
let me look real quick on the Clash of the Champions. Yeah, because, yeah, that's what happened because Chris Benoit wins the Clash of the Champions match. So.
Yes, yes. Okay, so Chano beats Dave Taylor, Scott Hall beats Booker T, and Luger beats Stevie Ray. It's a nothing Nitro because they're building up for the big clash the next night. And
Clash of the Champions were didn't be just I don't go there was no point in them.
No, because the point of the Clash of the Champions was to get a live show that wasn't a pay-per-view time, you know, a couple times a year. And they did huge ratings because they were, you know, they were live events. Everything else was taped. And
yeah.
It was just, I don't know. It was awesome, though.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
No. Dean Malenko beat the Cruiserweight Champion, also a Dragon, with a title.
Wait, what wasn't I thought Liger was supposed to be in this match.
Yes, it was, but they just the old replacement rule, you know. When you put a replacement, they win the title, of course.
That's right.
Excuse me. I'm sorry for my coughing, everybody. I once again somehow have a cold. I have no idea what happened. All right.
Hold on. Okay, never mind. I know what you're talking about. I was confused. I thought Liger was supposed to be in this match. I was wrong.
No. Liger was taken out of the match.
That's right.
Also, this is when Sunny, or when Ultimo Dragon turned on Sunny Ono, isn't it?
Might have been because very shortly after, you know, they broke up and then he started bringing the other guys in to kind of take Dragon out.
Yes, there's the storyline. And it was supposed to be, Rey Mysterio versus Lord Steven Regal. But they had a... they said that they were going to have a mystery opponent for Regal. Wasn't it on this show? Or did they...
No.
They
just canceled the
match. They took the match completely off the show.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now I'm making sense of the show. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. I remember the show because I watched it live. All right, Jericho, Kalo, and Chavo, Conan, LaParte, and Mr. JL, when Jericho pinned JL with a Super Frankensteiner. Awesome match. And it was just a great, you know, six-man lucha match.
Originally going to be Conan, Psychosis, and Juventud against La Parca, Guerrero, and Kello. So you had how many people didn't show up for this match? Psychosis didn't show up. Guerrero didn't show up. That's it, I guess. Psychosis and Juventud. And then they switched teams, it looked like. Hell, they didn't. La Parca was... La Parca was supposed to team with Guerrero and Kello and ended up with Jericho teaming with Kello and Guerrero. And Conan was supposed to team with Psychosis and Hoovy, and he ended up teaming with La Parca and JL. I don't know. This confused me.
All right, Harlem Heat beat Renegade and Joe Gomez. You know,
what a match this had to be on. This had to be on the show. Just a random. God.
Threw it on there. Masahiro Chono beat Alex Wright, and I, of course, Nick Patrick was the referee for this match. So still, we got the evil referee. Scott Norton is a new member of the NWO, and he's kind of getting like a, you know, not a push, but like, you know, seen as a threat. But DDP had always been feuding with Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
The U.S. champion, Eddie Guerrero, decided against Scott Norton. Or it was an awesome match, sorry. And it's because DDP actually helped Eddie Guerrero against the NWO, and he got him with a diamond cutter. And
yep.
It was just awesome. It was awesome. Benoit beat Kevin Sullivan, false count anywhere match in 5 minutes. After a woman hit Sullivan over the head with a wooden chair.
Oh, they keep it in the family.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Gosh, woman, why did you do that? Just think. You should have stayed with him. He's short, I know, but so is Benoit.
And then in all these Sullivan and Benoit matches, you know, they always got to go to the bathroom now.
They always do. Always do. They're always in the bathroom. The Steiner brothers beat the Quebecers, which this is another.
I was excited for this match when I saw that they were having it.
Yes, yes, it was good. It was good.
Because they had such great, they had great matches in WWF. So.
And this is Scott's first match back.
Yep.
Since his injury. Luger in the main event of the show is Luger against Scott Hall, and he beat Scott Hall by DQ. When six interferes, of course, and they announced during the match that they wanted to wish a happy 35th birthday to a longtime WCW supporter, Brian Hildebrand, who was just referee Mark Curtis in this match, which was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And the Steiners helped make this match. All right, let's go to.
Talk about the opening of this pay-per-view.
Yes, yes.
Which included the NWO coming to the arena on dump trucks.
Why they put a Nitro, a Clash of the Champions, and a Sold Out all in the same week made no sense at all. And we found out why because of this. All right, explain this whole thing to us.
Well, they were doing, I can't remember the opening. The opening was Bischoff was laying at the podium and this dude cutting this promo, and then all of a sudden you see all these dump trucks pull up, and every member of the NWO is hanging off of it like some kind of new wave garbage man gimmick. I don't know.
Yeah.
I expected Duke the Dumpster Drosy to be joining the NWO on this evening, but
it was different.
That didn't happen.
It was cool.
I don't know. It was just so odd. It was just so odd saying coming to the arena in dump trucks.
Then they had their own ring announcers, and Bischoff and Ted DiBiase were the commentators. It was different, but it didn't work. It did not work at all.
Mm-mm. I mean, the lighting and everything, it was just, I don't know, it was just not a good show.
No, it was not at all. It was such a... It was just a bad idea. It was just a bad, bad, bad idea.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go through the matches.
And it would be repeated, like, later in the year when they tried to do NWO Nitro, and that failed miserably, too.
That failed as well. They thought the NWO was so over, and the ratings were so over that nothing wouldn't
but
work.
People still
know?
Wanted to watch a wrestling show. They didn't want to – I don't think, you know – I don't want to watch, like, a bunch of heels doing commentary a whole show. And
no.
Stuff like that. You got to have guys on both sides of the fence, you know, especially when you're commentating.
Yes. You really do. And one thing, like, there was, like, WWE wrestlers in the crowd sitting there just randomly, you know, like, kind of as, like, protection, I guess. All right,
Dawn Anderson, I think Brian Knobbs and maybe Harlem Heat and Randy Anderson, referee, would you come into play here in a little bit?
Yes. All right. Masahiro Chono beat Chris Jericho with a boot to the face. And Nick Patrick's the referee for all these matches, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Big Bubba beat Hugh Morris in a Mexican death match.
A Mexican death match. Was Conan supposed to be in this match and he didn't make it or something?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Didn't Big Bubba hit him with his motorcycle?
Yes. Jeff Jarrett wrestled. This tells you how much they think about new NWO members. Michael Wall Street, who's a new member of the NWO, loses Jeff Jarrett right away, right after joining.
Yeah, when you when you're NWO and you lose on the NWO show, then you know things aren't good.
No, they're not. But Mongo actually helped Jarrett win, so that's kind of showing like a little bit of unity between the Horsemen. You know,
yeah.
They had 30 members, you know. Bagwell beat Scotty Riggs, of course. Scott Norton beat DDP via countout. Didn't they all just beat his ass outside?
Well, I thought maybe like he hit the diamond cutter and the NWO hit the ring and maybe he went out through the crowd or something.
Yes, yeah, what happened.
Because I don't think this was at the point where nobody had gotten to DDP yet. That would be coming up in a couple months.
Yes, they had not gotten to him yet.
Yep.
Rick and Scott Steiner, they beat Kevin Nash and Scott Hall to win the titles. Because
the referee
was down. Go ahead, explain it.
The referee was down, and Randy Anderson came into the ring and made the count, and Rick and Scott Steiner were the WCW Tag Team Champions for 24 hours.
It was for 24 hours, which is amazing, you know. Eddie Guerrero beat Six in a ladder match, and then
good match.
It was a very good match. They both got the belt and took it off, but Guerrero hit him over the head with the title, and the announcer announced Eddie Guerrero as wrestling's jumping bean, which is not only hilarious but extremely offensive. But it was hilarious, so it was fun.
Sonny Ono was taking notes on that when you can bet your bottom dollar.
Yes.
That was an awesome spot in this match when, like, both guys were, like, on the, like, the third or rung from the top and Six did a drop kick from the, because this ladder was fucking huge.
It was. It really was. I'm actually, I'm watching that U shoot right now with Stone Waltman. I've only made it about, you know, a couple minutes in. You know, maybe 10 minutes in. I like Sean Waltman. I really do.
I've always liked him.
Yeah, I've always thought he was good. You know, seems like a, you know, fairly down-to-earth guy. I actually read a story about him where he's, like, trashing some promoter because, like, the guy, he showed up to an event. The guy said he couldn't pay him everything, and he could leave if he wanted to, but he still wrestled the match not to let down fans. So, I don't know. I like Sean Waltman. I like him a lot, actually.
I never got the X-Pac heat with him. That's always been a mystery to me.
Yeah, me too.
You know? I mean, I just...
It doesn't make any sense.
People acting like the guy sucks. The guy don't suck. I can tell you that right now.
No, he does not. He's actually very, very good, to be honest.
Yeah. He could still be good today if he wanted to.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. If he got himself in shape and stuff, he could still be one of the best guys out there.
Yeah, he's still real good.
Yeah.
He's still really good. He's just, you know, he's had his issues, and, you know, who hasn't?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just what it is. That's what we're, you know, dealing with. All right, wasn't the next match just the main event?
Next match was Giant fought Hulk Hogan to no contest in 10 minutes. Well, that's a good thing for your pay-per-view. 10 minutes and no contest. Well, let's talk about this Miss NWO thing real quick.
Okay, well,
I don't know what this monstrosity was. Somebody must have been watching some granny porn over the weekend or something, and I don't know, maybe all the guys in the back liked it or something. I don't know. This is a bunch of middle-aged women coming out and making out with Eric Bischoff. This was weird.
That's so awesome.
I don't understand it.
I never understood that.
I wonder who came up with that. I figure Miss NWO pageant, they're going to have like some porn stars or something out there or something. You know, there's some hot chicks. But no, we got these middle-aged women. Look like they just got out of the PTA meeting or something.
Have you been reading those Torch back issues? Like Rover suggested the kind of times that we should do?
Yeah, I read those all the time.
I've been meaning to sign back up for Torch, but I have not done it. I will.
Yeah, I mean, they got a shitload of good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah.
Getting, like, the Torch issues, like, all the way back to, like, 1989 and 1990 and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I definitely need to check that out.
Yeah.
All right. And what these things was... Why did they have Bischoff just give, like, Hogan gifts? Wasn't that odd to you?
When did he give him gifts?
He gave him an NWO guitar. Did he give him a Harley, too, on the show?
I remember later in the year they did something before Starcade, and he gave him a Harley, and the guy was riding the Harley out, and the Harley died, and the guy said, the fucking thing won't work. Right there on TV. And he did,
yeah,
like, the thing where they put up his Sports Illustrated cover.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave him a ring that looked like the WCW title.
Which you can actually buy those now. You can
okay,
buy those rings. Maybe that'll be my wedding ring.
Well, I hope not if you want a happy marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, you want to run through this last Nitro before we...
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do these Nitros.
Okay. Rick and Scott Steiner beat Ming and the Barbarian. It was actually probably a decent match because those two teams could both go.
And right after this match, as they're coming back, they ask for Eric Bischoff demands the belts back. He wants the titles back. And he's like, you know, if you don't give us the belts back, you're fired. You're fired. And he calls out Randy Anderson. And he fires Randy Anderson for running in because he wasn't invited. He was not invited. He was not invited to be a referee, so he fired Randy.
I hate when they do shit like this, when they just take titles back, when they do stuff like that. I don't like it. And it'll be even worse the next month.
It was stupid, yes.
Yeah. It's just, I guess it makes sense if you're in charge, you can do that kind of stuff, but still, it looks so lame on TV.
Oh, yeah, it does. It really does. The Giant beats Roadblock. I love Roadblock. I love Roadblock, and I love Ric Fuller. They're awesome. Seriously, I love them. Jeff Jarrett beats Eddie Guerrero, DQ. Also, Dragon beats Billy Pearl. Lex Luger defeats Ron Powers. Bongo and Anderson beat the Quebecers. The poor Quebecers never win in WCW, and they were so great. They are so great.
And a little historical note. The final match of Arn Anderson.
This was it.
Because very shortly after, he started having his neck problems, and he went in for neck surgery and all that time, and never came back.
Never came back. Final match of the great, great Arn Anderson, who's one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Teaming with Dave McMichaels. At least he won.
Yes. Hall and Nash beat... Who were indie darlings at the time? Ace Sterling and Devin Storm. They were like at this, like in 1997. They were like the equivalent of like, you know, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli. Like they were a big thing on the indie scene. And,
if there was an indie show in the Northeast, odds are these two guys are on it.
Yeah, but they were the big stars on the show, you know.
Yeah, and they were called the Extreme, and they were hailed from Stamford, Connecticut.
Yep.
And then Bischoff was in for commentary on this, and he said, well, these guys aren't worthy. They're from Stanford. And Zabisco says, well, then they're definitely not worthy.
Gosh. I mean, Bischoff was just – I mean, I liked him a lot, you know. Of course, I love this TV, but just the way he handled things, you know, it was just so irritating.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin Sullivan destroyed Joe Gomez. Dean Malenko beat one of my personal favorites, Jerry Flynn.
Jerry Flynn
Lightning Foot Jerry Flynn was awesome. He had one of the best mullets in the history of time. Hugh Morris.
I just remember that stupid shit in WCW at the end where he would be like in this block in the dressing room, and if somebody came down there, he had to kick their ass because he was in his part of the dressing room or some shit like that. Do you remember that?
Why was he pushed? Why was he ever pushed?
I don't know. I mean, he was a decent worker, I guess, but.
No, he was not. He made a visit against Goldberg no less on Nitro, no less than 400,000 times. I mean, they would have Nitro with Nitro for 3 hours, and eventually the main event would be Goldberg versus Jerry Flynn at the last match of the night. It happened all the time. Why would they do? Who could possibly care about that?
I don't know. Well, nobody cared about it. At the time, Goldberg, they just wanted to see Goldberg go through somebody.
Yes, and Jerry Flynn was just the guy.
Yep.
All right, finally, Hugh Morris beat Benoit. I'm sure there's some sort of interference. And the Giant beat Hulk Hogan, but, of course, it was just because of the NWO run-in like that causes disqualification. It's horrible crap.
Three Hogan and Giant matches in a week.
How could you not like that? How could you not like that?
I don't know. I'd like it if they gave me a finish.
You know what? I was at that Nitro in Chicago because now that I'm reading this from February, it was the one where Macho Man was sitting in the middle of the ring and said he'd been blackballed. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that.
Blackballed.
He told Jared Bischoff to kiss his ass?
Yes, and then Sting came down. They had a big gay hug, and then they flew up into the rafters together.
Yeah, and they would be up there for, until Super Bowl the next couple of months, they would, you know.
Yes.
And one time, wasn't DDP sitting in the ring, and they came out there and kind of fucked with him, and I don't know.
No, what happened on this Nitro, which nothing really happened, DDP beat the Renegade, but after the match, Hall and Nash come out with pipes, and they're like, they're going to go, you know, beat the hell out of him. All of a sudden, like, Sting and Savage comes out, and, like, you know, he thinks he's going to get attacked by all of them. And, you know, he gets a chair, thinks he's going to fight everybody, and they all just eventually vanish. Apparently, you know, an old man with a chair is going to scare away all those guys, but I don't know, it was a cool little stand-down. I liked it a lot.
This Nitro right here, this might have been where they introduced Jackie. Kevin Sullivan.
I think it was.
Which I thought was a good fit.
I loved Jackie. Loved
especially
her.
When you get to the next week and Kevin Sullivan's first match with her at ringside, and I've never seen a woman beat up a man like that. My God, she's so awesome.
She was great.
Bobby Heenan was so awesome. He was flipping out. He said, she's covered in the Taskmaster. He's just giving him body slams. And I said, well, a woman ends up fighting this lady right here, she's going to get the shit kicked out of her.
Yes. Alex Wright beat Super Colo, Conan beat Benoit, and Jeff Jarrett Manga. There was really not much of this Nitro, with the exception of what I mentioned.
Yeah.
They had it was Nitro after this, which was the 10th. Yeah, because they had a title versus title match. And, you know, because Dean Malenko has this weird thing with Eddie Guerrero where he's like friends with him, but yet they're feuding at the same time.
Yeah.
And
this is where they started the feud going into Super Bowl with Malenko and Pete, right?
Yes, it was. The Giant destroyed a jobber. The Steiners destroyed High Voltage. The Extreme lost again, once again, to Hall and Nash. Mysterio wrestled Lord Regal to a time limit draw. Maverick Wild got his ass kicked by Kevin Sullivan and Jackie. So awesome.
So great.
What a hilarious name for a jobber, too. Maverick Wild. Hugh Morris beat Alex Wright, who's still, for some reason, around. And Benoit and McMichael beat Jeff Jarrett and Chavo.
What a weird team.
Free show.
Jeff Jarrett and Chavo.
Well, wasn't the storyline that Jeff Jarrett was trying to find a new partner?
Yeah. And I think this is leading into a match against McMichael at Super Brawl to being the Horseman.
Yes. All right. So we have the Nitro Go Home show. You remember this?
Yeah, this is the Go Home
for Super Brawl.
For Super Brawl. Now, I remember the week before, maybe, Randy Anderson brings out his family to make a plea to Eric Bischoff to get his job back.
This was on the 10th February, yes.
And Randy Anderson had legitimately, he was like in remission from cancer, which eventually he would die of many years later. So he brings his kids out and says, "You're still fired, and I know you've had a tough year." He said, "Yeah, I had a bout with cancer." And Bischoff said, "I don't care about that. It's, I don't know, stuff like that. That kind of gets to me, you know, taking something real like that and using it to get some heat. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
It was tasteless.
Yes.
So
it's something that he eventually died from. Jesus Christ.
I hated it. Wow, we have a call right now. I'm gonna take a call, okay?
You're gonna take a call?
Yes.
Okay.
Area code 918.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? Who's
this? Hey, my name's Peter File. I just want to know, did Macho Man DeFlower Stephanie McMahon? That's what I want to know.
Oh, boy.
Well, there's nobody's ever given us a reasonable explanation, so it might answer your question right there.
No one has actually given a straight answer. All right, area code 703, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Hey, my name's Tyrone, how you doing? Hey, so
I
want to suggest in I want to succeed in professional wrestling, but I just think I'm too smart. Do you think eating Vagisil and watching 2.5 Men might help me achieve my dreams?
It wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't.
What the hell is going on?
What?
If you're smart, do not get into professional wrestling. That's your lesson.
Okay, we will try to take one more call. I'm sure we're getting pranked majorly, but let's try one last one, okay?
Okay.
All right, area code 571.
Yo, you there?
Yeah, well, what's going on?
Yeah, this is Mike Hawk. I was actually wondering the same thing as the last guy.
Oh, gosh. What the fuck? How did this even happen?
Did he say his name was Mike Hawk?
Apparently, Mike Hawk. Yes.
Somebody in the chat room didn't like what I said at the start of the show.
Really? Yeah, because there's one other person.
I gave good answers to all these people. Yeah, if you're smart,
really
don't go
good
into this business.
All right, area code 972.
Hey, how's it going? This is Tal Walker from Texas. I'm Texas Tal Walker. Hey, man, I got a question. I think Cthulhu was the greatest wrestler of all time.
Who's that?
You think who was?
Cthulhu. You know, he used to come out with the magnets. Like, you know, the music would play and he'd come out with his magnets. You know, Cthulhu. You guys got to know about Cthulhu. I mean, anybody, like, respectable who knows, like, anything about wrestling knows about Cthulhu.
What area did he work in?
What area did he work in? He worked in all
yeah
of them. He was Cthulhu. He didn't even work in this dimension. With the magnet.
All right. No more phone calls. I can't handle this. It's a bunch of nerds trying to...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I let's
call this. We were being bombarded.
We were being bombarded. Yes, we really were. What an odd end to our show.
Let's humor them.
All
we'll
right,
take two
yeah
more and then we'll get
able...
the fuck off the line.
Okay, let's take two more calls and then we're going to go. All right, let's call more. All right, air code 703.
I'm on the air.
Sure.
Yes.
I heard y'all talking about a guy named
Chris Benoit, and I was wondering who the hell the dude was. The name sounds familiar.
I got rid of him.
I couldn't even understand what he said.
He's talking about Benoit. All right, area code 727.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, man?
This is Rich from Tampa. I actually called you guys about 2 weeks ago. This
You've got a good question, don't you? You've got some kind of a normal question?
I sure do, yeah. Great show, by the way.
No, thank you very much.
I was the guy that was telling you guys that I used to live over in Orlando, and I used to work out at this gym back when the...
Yes, I remember you.
Yeah, yeah. But what I wanted to tell you is... Lanny Poffo, that's Macho Man's brother, right? You guys know that?
Yeah.
Well, I used to work out at this gym in St. Pete, Florida, where I live now. And I got to know Lanny Poffo like 10 years ago. And he told me, because Macho Man used to work out there too sometimes, but he told me this was when Macho Man was, you know, was doing real well. But he told me that Vince McMahon hates Randy Savage, and that's the one guy that we'll never, ever see back in the Hall of Fame. We'll never see. I don't know if they ever end up doing a DVD on him, but because I guess there was something there that happened with before Triple H with him and Stephanie McMahon to where Vince McMahon just cannot stand Randy Savage.
Yeah, I think he found out, like, in later years, maybe.
Right.
Maybe around, like, the 2000s or something. Something came out, and I don't know, you don't hear too many people refuting it, so, I mean, may tell you there's something to that, you know?
It's just kind of weird how, like, so many other guys will leave and McMahon will be mad at them, but then they'll think of a way to make money together and, you know, with Hart and Hogan, and he'll bring him back. But Savage is the one guy that I guess you will never see him again, you know, in anything to do with...
I think if it comes to it... When they run through their list of like big time Hall of Famers, I think maybe this is the only time you'll see him come back. Maybe for that, I can see that.
Yeah,
I really do think that could happen.
Do you guys know? Has there been any I used to buy a lot of the DVDs. I used to like when they were doing like the documentaries. Like the Kurt Hennig one was pretty good, and the Brian Pillman one was pretty good. And it seems like they just kind of stopped doing those. Do you know if they've had any like? Like, I figured even though Luger was pretty much in WCW in Sting, I thought they would maybe, you know, since they own the video library, have they ever done any videos on those kind of guys, any documentary type of videos?
They did the Best of Starrcade DVD, and they did a Best of the Road Warriors DVD, which was a lot of the WCW stuff. They did a Flair one. They actually had a special on all of their DVDs yesterday. It might still be going on. It was a 24-hour deal. And all those DVDs were only $10 yesterday. Retro ones.
Wow.
Yeah, so on the WWE Shop website. Yeah,
they got they got the like the 50 Greatest Superstars of All Time DVD coming out. But I'm not sure what documentaries they got coming up. What was the one they just did? Was Jericho or somebody like that?
Yeah, Jericho had one. They had they're making Bobby Heenan one that comes out in December.
Oh yeah, the Bobby Heenan one's coming out in December. It's got a documentary and stuff on there.
Hey, you guys were talking earlier. I definitely remember that Nitro. Wasn't that the one you said where I think we didn't see Macho Man for a while, and then as soon as they started the show, he was like all dressed in black and he was sitting in a chair in the ring, and then he said he wasn't going anywhere. Right.
Yeah, that Halloween Havoc memory lost the match. That was the last time we saw him.
Right.
That was awesome. That was definitely awesome.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, hey, man, I appreciate you calling in.
All right, guys, keep it up. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we really got to get going.
All right, thank you for being sane.
Yes, thank you for being sane. All right, Drew, let's go ahead and end this thing, man. Next week, we'll start off with Super Brawl, and we'll explain like everything going into Super Brawl and what happens. And it'll be a full show next week. We actually might do one, you know, later this week. We'll discuss it, and we'll
probably
it
get at least through Uncensored next week, which I have another classic Dusty clip I'm gonna seek out, and we're gonna play that next time.
All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. All the jerks that called in that, you know, were jerks, you know, fuck you. And also that cool guy that called in, we appreciate it. All right, everybody. We will be back next week. All right.